Everybody, it's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we have founding member and drummer for Hinder. We have Cody Hansen. How are we, man?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Good, dude. So, what you been up to lately? You been touring? What has your guys' schedule been looking like?
Yeah, man, we've been touring like crazy. You know, playing a bunch of shows. We've been, you know, just kind of working on the promotion for the new single. So yeah, we've been really busy.
Awesome, awesome. And we'll get into all that in a bit. But I wanted to ask you, when it comes to the touring, I love to ask artists and bands who've been around for a little while this question. Compared to when you guys first started out, or how many years back you want to go, I guess, like, what keeps you going when it comes to touring? Like, it's just everyone burns out on something. And that seems like something, at least from a fan or an outsider's perspective, that seems like something that you could burn out on pretty quickly. So, like, for you or you guys as a whole, like how do you keep it going? How do you keep getting back out there every year?
Yeah, I mean it's happened. You know, we've experienced some burnout for sure. You know, that happened to us in the early days when we were playing 300 shows a year. You know, I mean, that'll almost kill anybody, you know. So I don't know. I think for us, the fact that, you know, that we have fans that show up and they're excited, you know, they show up to the shows, they have a great time. That's really the most important thing to us. And, you know, that and the fact that we're all friends and we get along and we have a great time together. You know, we drink too much and go out and act like idiots. You know, I mean, who doesn't love to do that? So yeah, it keeps it somewhat fresh.
Right on. And yeah, speaking of the fan base, I feel like, at least from my point of view, that you guys and a lot of your peers who were like kind of started and like played along like to when you guys were like starting out and everything, like back in like, I guess, like the early 2000s, whatever you want to call it. Sure. I feel like there's a big resurgence, at least with the crowd I run around with, at least, that it's almost like it never left, like your guys' style and all that. And I think the fan base that you guys have, like, there's something to say for that. It's a very loyal fan base. Is that something that has always been there from the start? Is that something like you have seen, like, with the next generation, I guess you could say, like, grow naturally, or do you ever see any of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been lucky and we've had a fan base that's stayed pretty loyal to us, you know, over the years. But yeah, you're right. There has been this new resurgence, I guess, of we like to call it divorced dad rock. So, you know, that's been really interesting to see. I think that, like, you know, maybe, you know, our style of music got so big right there at the beginning that people just kind of, I don't know, maybe got tired of it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it was just kind of oversaturated there for a little while. And so it kind of, you know, we kind of became the butt of everybody's jokes, I guess. Not necessarily just us, but bands like us and bands like Nickelback and we'll lump Creed in there. And, you know, I think as maybe all I can guess is that, you know, maybe since those people have now had people our age have had kids and they're starting to, I don't know, become more familiar with our style of music. I think maybe they're going, wow, I mean, this time in music was pretty cool. You know what I mean? So we're starting to see, you know, a younger audience show up to shows and, you know, we really embrace that whole like divorced dad rock thing. And I think they think that's funny. You know what I mean? So they're showing up and buying the divorced dad rock shirts and doing the whole thing. So it's kind of been fun to watch.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause like, growing up listening to you guys and like Nickelback and all them guys that you've kind of mentioned, like the term butt rock is what they called it. And I'm like, I think I'm like, do they even like that term? I feel like they're called butt rock. People call these guys butt rock, but that just doesn't seem very flattering to be called. Like, I always wondered, like, what do you think of that term? Like, I don't know.
It doesn't bother me because, well, especially after, like, I didn't even know what that meant for the longest time, like where that came from. And so, like, once you kind of know where it came from, it's really not offensive at all. But I guess it was like, I guess it would come from like radio stations saying nothing but rock. You know, we play nothing but rock. And so then that turned into butt rock, right? So I don't know. For us, man, we don't really care. We think all the labels are really funny. And, you know, I think the one thing that's helped us last as long as we have is that we don't take ourselves too seriously. You know, we can laugh at ourselves and make fun of ourselves. It's a good time.
Yeah, I feel like you have to have that trait, you know, no matter what band you're in. Like, I see it, like, the first band that comes to mind is, like, Limp Bizkit. Like, of course, everyone made fun of Limp Bizkit for the longest time, but now they're out, and they have an album called Still Sucks. It's like, you have to be self-aware to really, you know, to really break through. I feel like that's a, like, with Nickelback, and I want to go back, by the way, with what you talked about, like, back then it might have been a little oversaturated. I feel like that's been... That's every genre, I think. Like you'll have the peak of rap music, and then it's like, okay, now let's move on to something. Now it's country music. And even that, I think, is getting a little bit, like, dialed out, a little oversaturated. So it is cool that, I guess, the pendulum swings, or however you want to call it, but yeah. It's cool to see, like, the staying power of bands like you guys and the ones who have came back and resurged and are still kicking ass, like Nickelback selling out arenas, and like Creed's killing it too. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, man, I think, you know, music, it's just always done that, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's always come, like, it's just gone in cycles, right? Like, yeah, you know, one thing, like, disco got really big and for, you know, in the 70s, and then that died out, and luckily never came back, because that'd be successful. Other than that, every other type of music has, like, you know, has had its ins and its outs. You know, sure. What I mean? And I think that's cool, man. I mean, it makes way for, like, a newer version, or like, you know, a slightly different, like, retooling of a certain genre, you know, the next time around. And it kind of keeps it interesting and fresh. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And with correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Extreme Behavior, that's coming on like 20 years now, isn't it?
In like it a is, year or yeah, so? Next year.
Yeah, man. So, like, I guess looking back all these years later, did you really see when it dropped, like, when it came out, would you ever expect it to be, like, such a, I would call it a staple, to be honest, of that time of music? Like that's just, like, that song, like all the songs from that album, at least for me, like, I used to blare that shit. And, like, you still hear it in bars and cover bands, they love it. Looking back now, like, did you ever think, like, all these years later, like, wow, this is going to be, like, what it's became, the legacy of it and everything?
No, I mean, I think that you always, like, you always hope and dream that you'll have a song like, you know, like Lips of an Angel was, mm-hmm. you know, like, or is, I guess, you know, yeah. It's really hasn't gone anywhere, to be honest, yeah. You know? But I don't think you can ever expect something to be quite on that level. You know what I mean? Like, we always knew that when we wrote the song, when we finished it, we knew that it was a special song, which is why we fought so hard for it in the early days. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we knew it was special, but we didn't know what it was going to become, for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned also, like, the retooling of a certain type of music. And at least I surround myself with a lot of the country artists now, too. And I want to say, like, I'll even say, like, especially in, like, Texas area, and I believe you're from Oklahoma, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might even see it there, like, that scene, like, it's very rock-centric now in like, the local scenes there. And, like, I see, like, guys like Giovanni and the Hired Guns, who I don't know if you know them or not, but they, like, put a live rendition of Lips on an Angel onto an album. And it's kind of cool to see, I guess it transcends genres or different styles of music. And I think there's something to be said with that too. If you could, like, so easily pull that off, being able to kind of work your way into different kinds of, you know, styles like that.
Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. There's another band that, we've gotten really into lately called Lakeview. That's like,
oh yeah,
you know, metal country or whatever, however you want to classify them. But we love that band. And we found out that they've been playing Lips live, and that's, I mean, that's what a cool thing, you know, like, to have a band that, you know, you crank up on the tour bus after the show, you know, when you're drinking at night, you know, and you find out they're playing your song live. That's a pretty cool deal, man. You know, like, what a big an honor for us. That's pretty cool.
Right on. And yeah, like guys like Lakeview or anything, are there any, like, you could call them up and comers or whatever, I guess, bands that are just now starting to pop. Like, are there any of those guys that you, like, might want to, I guess, you could work with, but just, like, that you, like, really appreciate, or that stick out to you, that, like, you would like to give some credit to? Cause I feel like you said, like, a lot of them pay a lot of, like, homage to, like, Hinder and bands of that ilk too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of them, I mean, they don't need our help, certainly. But, you know, bands like Lakeview, that's a big one for us. The Glorious Sons, that's another band that I think, I don't know, they're underrated maybe. They need a lot more recognition. That band should be massive. Bad Flower, they're another band that I think they're amazing and should be bigger. I mean, they're all doing really well, but... Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like all those bands should be arena bands, you know? Yeah. So, there's a lot of great stuff out there now, man, that, you know, we didn't have when we started. We didn't have all the competition, you know, like people couldn't just go hop into their bedroom and make like amazing sounding recordings and come up with budgets and put it out on social media. You know, all that stuff didn't exist when we first started. So now it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I mean, with the, like, obviously, over, you know, like, 20 years ago, like, physical media was kind of top-notch, right? Like, CDs and all that. And now, with the power of streaming, I guess, and like you mentioned, even, like, the process of making music, like, recording an album in your bedroom, a lot of people do, and, like, people don't need labels anymore. Have you guys, having been there and seeing it evolve that way, like, have you ever tried to, like, change up your recording style to that, or approach your recording, or create a process in any different way?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, it's definitely changed from when we first started, you know, like we now, you know, Marshall and I handle, you know, the songwriting and the production and the mixing and the mastering. And, you know, we kind of do everything now, like DIY. And so, you know, we're always kind of pushing the boundaries to see what we can do and, you know, different to incorporate different sounds and different styles and still keep them, I don't know, keep them in the Hinder brand, I guess. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's always fun to experiment. And, you know, I think on the new album, I think people will hear a lot of those different elements and, find it interesting.
Yeah. And you've produced for a while, haven't you? Like, haven't you been delving into that for a while now?
Yeah. So Marshall and I started doing it together back right before the All-American Nightmare record. And we spent, I don't know how many hours, you know, working in the back lounge of a tour bus trying to, you know, trying to figure out how to make a demo sound decent back there, you know. We did it through a couple tours. And, you know, since then, we never really stopped, you know, just kind of kept doing it. We did the All-American Nightmare record studio here. At my place, and we've done everything since right here. So it's been quite a ride, man. A lot of years of working on it for sure.
Yeah, man. And it's funny when a lot of artists, like when I ask them about like if they go into producing, a lot of them say, like, to be fair, like they like producing more than like writing nowadays. Like a lot of them, they just like want to switch completely over. And it has to be pretty dope to have like the complete creative umbrella over your music. Is that something that you got? Because it sounds like from you, like you pretty much have like complete control of everything you do now. Don't have to rely on like a label or another entity per se.
Yeah. I mean, we did just signed a new deal with a little boutique label, but you know, we already had everything finished. You know, the album was totally, you know, complete by then. So it's awesome, man, to like, we can sit down here and write a song, and as soon as we're finished, and even sometimes before we're finished, you know, a lot of times we'll just have like a verse and a chorus and we'll start tracking, you know, and then once we, you know, kind of get where we feel comfortable with it, then we'll, you know, finish out verse two and then, you know, throw in a bridge or whatever it is, you know what I mean? So it's I don't know, kind of opened our minds to like new ways of doing it. You know, it's kind of changed the process a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So when it comes to like the creative part of it, when it comes to just writing a song or the arrangement or whatever, I guess, how do you keep, do you ever struggle to keep your like creative juices per se flowing? Like, how do you ever find it some days you're just like, man, I can't do this shit anymore? Or is it like, you're always just like, on it? Like, do you have a process you have, or is, how do you go about that?
Yeah, honestly, man, it becomes like, for me personally, it's a little more difficult to write when you haven't done it for a while, you know, like When you take a break and you come back, it's hard to kind of get back in the swing of things. But if you're doing it all the time, you know, it's, I don't know, for some reason it's just easier to keep it flowing, you know. But that's hard for us because, you know, there's always a tour, you know, coming up. There's always something to do to kind of keep you from writing and producing or whatever. But you know, we try, you know, as much as we can to kind of stay on it and keep going.
For sure. And it's an understatement to say that COVID really, you know, was not a big help for artists, like obviously. But like when that all happened, I like to know what like certain artists did when that came to be, because like a lot of, like we were talking about earlier, like that's when it did become handy to be able to do stuff like over the computer, maybe send in your parts to, if you're recording or something, since you can't be in the same room. Did you guys experiment with any of that since you couldn't tour? Like, did you like have to rely a lot on that aspect, or what's your experience with that go like?
No, not really. We were lucky, you know. We most of us live here in the same spot, you know, in Oklahoma City. So, you know, we were just really careful about, you know, we went around, and then, you know, Marshall would come into the studio, and we would, you know, write and record, and that was really nice. I think that really kept us sane, to be honest with you. You know, we wrote an entire album over the pandemic that when we got done, we just kind of realized that, you know, we didn't feel, and we were trying to model it a little more after the first record, you know, trying to make it have that like throwback early 2000s sound, like Extreme Behavior. And we kind of realized that maybe it was just a little too forced, and you know, it didn't feel organic, and it didn't feel like us right now. So we decided to throw the whole thing away, and we started over, and now we have an entire brand new body of work. Ow, sorry, my cat jumped up
You're
on me.
fine.
That
You're
hurt.
good.
So anyway, yeah, we have a whole new body of work, an entire brand new album that we're putting out early next year. So it's been cool.
Yeah, and we'll hit on that too, but like it's when you mentioned that, like trying to go back and sound like Extreme Behavior, any of that kind of that work back then. So it is kind of difficult to put yourself in that spot. It just, I feel like you just, like you said, have to let it be natural and play what you're feeling now then, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't really try to go back and recreate something that was magic at a certain time, you know what I mean? It's never going to be the same. You know what I mean? Like for something to be created, you know, that like has that magic to it, at least in my experience, you know, everything has to align, you know. Timing is everything, and you know, you have to be in a certain mindset, you know, during that time. And then, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into it.
Sure.
So yeah, I think we've learned that trying to recreate something that you've done in the past is kind of pointless. You gotta be what you are and who you are in the moment.
Yeah.
So
And that's the only way really it'll feel genuine. And I feel like you could hear that over the songs too. And I'd imagine just like, you know, grow, like you said, like your dad's now, everything. It's like, I like it would probably be hard to write a song and put yourself in that same frame of mind as you did back in 05. You know what I mean?
yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, it is kind of cool, like when you're writing, you know, like to go back and think of past times and remember it and retell a story. You know, that's kind of a cool departure from now, and you can make that work. But you know, I feel like when you're trying to just recreate a song you've already done, I just don't think it ever turns out the same, you know.
Yeah. So how would you describe your sound now, as it has evolved over the years? Obviously I don't, nowadays genres don't matter. People like try to paint artists in corners. It's pointless now. Like you are what you are. So if you would describe your guys' style or sound nowadays, while still being hinder at its roots, of course, how would you describe that?
I don't know that I could. I mean, it's still, I'd say it's probably like all encompassing. You know what I mean? Like I like to say like that there's something for everyone on this new album. You know, we go, it's like a journey, it's a roller coaster ride. You know, we've got some stuff that's like, you know, modern heavy rock, and then we've got some songs that are, you know, a little more mid-tempo to ballady, you know, things that do kind of touch you know, maybe like early to mid 2000s, you know what I mean? And then we have some stuff that's like, I don't know, a little more like has modern pop elements,
yeah.
You know, but we tried really hard to keep it all feeling like a Hinder song, like a Hinder album, you know, try to keep it cohesive with all the old school elements that we're known for, but, you know, push the boundaries and kind of, you know, come up with new sounds that maybe we hadn't tried in the past. So,
yeah. So I guess you might as well hit on your new music coming out then. So I guess, what can you tell us about it? What can we expect to hear from you guys?
Well, we have a new song out right now, mm-hmm. called Live Without It. We released that one, I guess a couple weeks ago now. And, you know, it's doing really well. It's doing better than we had anticipated and better than we had hoped and expected. So, we're really excited about that. We have another song. I don't even know if I'm supposed to be talking about it yet, but it's coming out, next month, in the middle of next month. So that one will be cool. Keep an eye out for that. And then early next year, we'll, put out one more single and then put out the album. So, and then we'll see what happens after that. I don't know. We may keep doing videos and dropping singles from the album, but you know, it will be out and everybody will have access to all the material.
Right on. So is there going to be like a certain, I don't know, I guess you'd say like a message or something you're trying to get across with your new record coming out? Like, is there a certain theme that's it's going to be, or?
No, I think it's just, you know, a collection of songs that are really, really honest, you know what I mean? That tell stories about kind of, you know, where our heads were, you know, at that time and in that moment, you know. Some of the songs have been written for a long time, you know, that we wrote for other projects or, you know, other artists or whatever it was. And then we didn't end up using them and just kind of stored them on a hard drive, you know, and then we kind of resurrected them. But a lot of it, you know, Marshall, our singer, was going through, you know, a pretty substantial relationship change while we were doing a lot of the writing. And so it's kind of an interesting, I don't know, it made for some interesting sessions, I guess, you know, like mm-hmm. I got a chance to listen to him kind of tell some stories and get some things off of his chest, you know, some things that he was going through. And then that gave me an opportunity to kind of sit back and observe and, you know, maybe circle back around and, you know, approach a different portion of the song from how I'm seeing it, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, I don't know, but it's a really good, like, collection of songs that, I don't know, like I said, is they're all different, but cohesive somehow at the same time. So I'm excited for people to hear it.
Why not? So are you two still like the main songwriters of the group, or is that still kind of how it goes?
Yeah. Yep. We just, you know, we spend so much time creating music together that it just kind of makes sense that way. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And did you say you recorded this there where you are now, you said?
We did. Yep.
Cool. Hell yeah. Dude, I'm excited for it. That's going to be awesome. I can't get myself enough of Hinder. That's for sure. I don't know if you're familiar. I don't know if you're familiar with Rage Rowdy, but like the Nickelback, Creed, Hinder, you guys are like our avenue. It was like accidental too. It's kind of hilarious. Like, we just liked it more than like most of the this might get me in trouble. We liked that more than the new shit that we were supposed to cover. So we were just like, let's just keep talking about that shit. Like, we like this shit better anyway.
I love that. That's fucking awesome, man. Well, thanks. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. So I wanted to ask you this earlier there. I forgot, but I'm kind of curious on I guess before you even started Hinder, or when you really got into music, was the scene in Oklahoma or wherever you, I guess, were coming of age to play music or you wanted to pursue it, was that a big impact, like that local scene to you, or was it like just kind of everywhere?
Not really, man. Like, you know, I feel like it might have been, I don't know, a big advantage to us, because when we were coming up, a lot of bands in Oklahoma were, I don't know. I don't know if they were ashamed or what to be from here, but it seemed like a lot of them were doing the emo thing. You know, they were trying to copy what was happening on the coasts, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? At the time, you know, a lot of the Hawthorne Heights and,
yeah.
you know, bands like that were out and we'd see commercials for them constantly on TV. So, I feel like a lot of bands were trying to copy that, but we got it, you know, it gave us the opportunity to kind of just be I don't know, be what we wanted to be and what felt right and, you know, just what whatever came out. So, you know, I feel like we kind of stood out in Oklahoma City and you know, the music, the live music market in Oklahoma City has never been super strong. You know, mm-hmm. it's always kind of been a kind of a weird market. It's kind of hard to get people to care, you know. Yeah. So, but we got lucky and figured it out and had some pretty big crowds early on. So we got lucky.
Yeah, and I guess the what would you attribute that to with it not being so strong? Because, like, I mean, obviously, like, that area, a lot of, you got a place like, well, and you got, like, the Mercury Lounge in Tulsa, I believe, like, places like that. But like, I feel like it's, has it always been more of, like, the country market? Would that be maybe how, like, maybe the rock market wasn't so strong? Or, like, what's the reason for that? I'm curious.
Yeah, I don't really know, to be honest with you. I mean, I think, you know, since the country market is so strong, I mean, that definitely probably plays a role, I would assume. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we always kind of had a lack of music venues that were like accommodating, you know, that were small enough that had, you know, the right stage and production and, you know, PA sound quality, you know what I mean? Yeah. We're kind of lacking that in the city, I feel like. So, I mean, maybe that played a role. I don't know. But whenever we came up, we always did everything ourselves. You know, we brought in our own lighting, our own sound, we did our own promotion. We really just kind of took it and, you know, built like a small, I don't know, like a label and marketing company around the band. You know what I mean? That's kind of what it felt like. And so, yeah, we were able to do a lot of things that other bands weren't able to do. So it worked out.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. It reminds me, there's this band called Frigga Five from Atlanta, and they're like heavy metal, like, band, and we had him at one of our events in Nashville at Riley Green's Duck Blind. It was our first, his new bar, and their stage was like the size of like a postage stamp, and this is like a five-piece band, I think, and they were like metal music, so and they were, you know, jumping off the stage going bananas, and we may have gotten a Stern phone call the next morning about, hey, got a little few complaints on the noise. It worked out, but I could imagine that, man. Like, it's, I feel like, and this is just me being completely ignorant to how it works, but I feel like being a rock band will be a lot more challenging in that region to start out as, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like that's right. I mean, now's a little different, you know, because you have social media, so you can, if you do the right things, you know, make the right post or whatever it may be, you know, you can kind of, I don't know, sidestep some of those challenges, but yeah, it's still to this day, the live music scene in Oklahoma City is not quite as strong as, you know, some of the other markets that we travel to and see. So, hopefully that's something we can figure out.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the social media stuff, then, as a group who's been around for a while and got to see that kind of, I guess, take over the industry in a sense, when it comes to promotion and all that, I feel like it could be a great thing for an artist to blow up on, like the TikToks and the Instagram reels and all that. But also, I feel like it could also be like a detriment to them. Like, if they maybe get blown up so quick, they don't really know what to do. Is that something that you ever think about, or is that, have you guys adapted to that, the social media aspect yet? Or is, like, some people don't want anything to do with it. Like, what do you guys think of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, you know, like, mm-hmm. for us, you know, social media would have really existed when we were first starting. We probably would have been pretty good at it. You know, we were really enthusiastic. But now, I mean, you know, we're getting a little older. We've all got families and, you know, it's not really something that we think about all the time. We don't think about putting ourselves out there in front of people, you know, constantly and letting everybody into our personal lives. So, you know, I feel like social media is something that we struggle with a little bit. And, you know, I have seen exactly what you just said. I've seen, you know, we've got friends that have kind of really blown up quickly on social media. And I think they expected that to just stay once they got mm-hmm. there. They expected it to just, for nothing to change. And, you know, people are fickle and they're, you know, they're, attention spans are really short these days, so it's hard to keep people engaged, man. You got to figure out new ways to come up with new content that's interesting and engaging, you know, because people get bored really easy now. So, yeah, it's not something we figured out, that's for sure.
But at the same time, though, it's also admirable to see bands just like you guys just like they like name of the game's touring, and like that's how you like nowadays, like with like the new guys popping off, like a lot of the way that they even like make any kind of profit is touring. It's like selling merch and playing shows. Like you can't really buy CDs. No one's buying CDs anymore, all that kind of stuff. So I guess like touring has to be like the name of the game nowadays, right?
Yeah. I mean, for us, it's everything, you mm-hmm. know, without, and that's the only reason to do it, you know, yeah. unless you're just, you know, unless you're one of these internet guys that's figured out how to do it and you can, you know, figure out how to bring in an extra $15,000-$20,000 a year, you know, if that's what you're into and that's the name of your game, that's great. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's not sustainable long term, you know. It's not, you're not going to make a real living at it, you know, yeah. doing that unless you're out touring and you putting in the work, you know, doing the hard stuff.
Yeah, man, road dogging it. It never stops, exactly. I guess.
Exactly.
So now, I guess nowadays, do you still get those like goosebumps and like, oh shit moments, like on the road, like, or doing anything really? Like, have you ever been up there drumming like, holy shit, like something crazy happens or something, you're just like, I can't believe I'm here doing this. Like any of those moments you ever get still?
Dude, I have one of those moments every single night. Every single show for me is that way. I don't, mm-hmm. I can't speak for the rest of the guys, but you know, for me, it's like, I get so, so nervous before every show. Like,
really?
Yeah. To the point where it's like, you know, I'm trembling a little bit, you know, which is probably why I drink so much, but, but that's okay. It helps. So yeah, man, for me, it's still, it's crazy that we're still out here doing it, you know, and, you know, we want to go out and we want to put on the best show that we can every single night. And we want everybody to be happy, you know, so, and things don't always go perfectly when you're out there, man. People, especially now, people get sick constantly. And so you have guys constantly having, you know, vocal troubles or, you know, whatever it may be. There's always something to kind of deal with. So, yeah, man, it's, I don't know. The fact, like I said, though, the fact that we're still here doing it is insane after so long.
Yeah, and you guys are killing it too. And with when you do come across a problem like that, is it easier to deal with now that you've done the whole song and dance, or is it still like, ah, shit, like we this popped up, like what are we gonna do?
I don't think, man. For me anyway, like I'm a perfectionist. I like things to be perfect every time. You know what I mean? So for me, no, it never really gets any easier. But I mean, I guess there's. You have to know that it's coming. Things are going to happen. It's just how it goes. And so you just kind of roll with it, you know, the best you can. But yeah, no, I don't ever get used to it. I hate it.
Well, it just sounds to me like your passion's still there and you still love being up there whenever you're playing on stage, still love playing music. And that's great to hear, man. Especially like as a guy and a lot of people I know grew up with you guys, it's great to hear like, it sounds cliche, but it's not dead. Rock is not dead, I guess you could say.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing, man. When you love what you do and you actually care about like the people on the other side of the stage mm-hmm. and how they feel and you know, whether you want them to feel like they got their money's worth, you know, when they come to a show and they're having a great time and that they were able to kind of put all the bullshit out of their brains from that day or week or month or whatever, you know, like,
yeah,
you want them to be able to come to a show, have an escape, let loose and have a great time. And, you know, we take that part really seriously.
That's awesome. Cody, thanks a lot for hopping on. This is awesome to talk to you finally. And, before we go, let's hit back on the music you guys have coming out just in case no someone hasn't heard it yet. So new single is Badass. I love it. And, yeah. So what else you guys got coming out again?
Yeah. So Live Without It's out right now. So yeah, make sure you go check that out. We have a new song coming out. We haven't announced this yet, but it'll be mid-November, I guess, is when the song's actually going to drop. And then, yeah, we're looking at an album release sometime, maybe February. So. Okay. Well, yeah, we're kind of trying to stay flexible, but yeah, those are the target dates so far.
Right on. Can't wait, man. And glad to see you guys still out kicking ass. Hope to catch a show with you guys soon. That'd be awesome. So thanks a lot again.
Let me know anytime.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for hopping on. Also, everyone check out. Oh, well, you have any plugs like Hinder's website, anything social media related? You could go ahead and throw that out.
Yeah, hindermusic.com is the website. All of our socials are Hinder Music, so we're really easy to find, except YouTube, and that's Hinder Backstage. But there's, you know, the links are everywhere. We're easy to track down.
Yeah, just Google them. You'll find them.
There you
that's
go.
What I usually say. But also, everyone, check out Rage Rowdy and Rowdy Alternative. You'll Google us. You'll find us. So thanks a lot again, Cody, for hopping on. Thanks, everyone else, for listening. We'll see you next time.
Right on, man. Thanks, dude.
My boots would look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take you home now. Make a mess of this, boys, now.